across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 27th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening as part of the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a question for you. Would you buy a Bible from Donald Trump? He's hawking them this week, a special edition of the Bible, the God Bless the USA Bible during Holy Week. We'll talk about that and more, much more coming up along the way today. In fact, let's just get right into it. Later this hour, our weekly climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff, talking about how the local, especially rural governments that could benefit the most from clean energy jobs are sometimes the ones that choose to be an obstacle to those projects. But also we'll talk about how several Wisconsin utilities have pledged that the bulk of their future green sector jobs will be done with quality Wisconsin union labor. A busy second hour, we're first joined by former New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu. He is the former senior advisor to the White House for infrastructure matters. He's now a co-chair of the Biden-Harris campaign, and he is touring Wisconsin talking about all the various investments being made by the administration, from big bridges to small fiber optic lines. And then we will visit with some more school board members and candidates about what's at stake across Wisconsin when voters go to the polls next week. Next Tuesday, April 2nd, is the spring general election for local nonpartisan races. It's also the presidential primary. It's also got statewide constitutional amendments, two of them that absolutely have no business being in the Constitution and deserve a no vote next week when they come up. To reach us, as always, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it, you can text it, you can use the app to text us. And you can put comments on Facebook, a growing number of folks doing that, just checking in with where you're listening, what you're doing, what the weather's like in your neck of the woods, as Al Roker would say. We'll take it all. I'll tell you about the weather in terms of current temperatures right now here on Lake Wissota. Well, basically everybody is 20 degrees colder than yesterday. So if you need to plan for the bus stop or for the commute and hadn't checked the temp yet, keep that in mind. It's 20, sometimes 25 degrees colder than yesterday. It's 17 here on Lake Wissota, 16 in Hayward and Park Falls. Wausau checking in at 19 degrees, Green Bay 26, La Crosse 26, Wisconsin Rapids is at 22 degrees, Madison reports 26, and it's 27 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find at the studios of WAUK, Mr. Greg Bach, who's giving himself his own high five and thumbs up. It's good to be your own hype man sometimes. You got to do what you got to do.
Did you know that Flavor Flav of Public Enemy's original name was DJ MC Flavor Flav? He was the total package.
I don't know that I've ever seen his birth certificate, and I think that's a very cool original
DJ MC
name,
Flavor
said.
Flav the Fourth.
Esquire. And what led to this random observation?
Because you said I'm my own hype man, so I figure if you're if you're the MC, you're the rapper. If you're the DJ, you're the hype man. Or actually, the MC was the hype man. Sorry, hip hop history right there. So I'm the whole package. You only need to pay one guy. I'm available for kids' parties.
I learned so much from you youngins, I tell you. We are both at work, which tells you that we are not the winner. And there was a winner of the Mega Millions jackpot last night. Somebody in New Jersey won $1.2 billion.
And the money just fell off a truck. What am I talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
So congratulations, random person in New Jersey. However,
yeah, congratulations.
You know what? The $865 million ain't so bad either, and that's what Powerball is up to tonight. So I know I've got my ticket for that one.
Dreams
cost a dollar.
You are not a regular lottery player, right?
I'm not. Okay. No, I used to be.
Yeah.
And And I played the same numbers all the time. It was a playoff of all the numbers that I picked were in both our daughter's birth dates, Sherry's birth date, and our grandkids' birth dates at the time. But that was with only two grandkids.
Yeah.
And as I was playing them, you felt almost duty bound to play them, because imagine the one time you hear, oh, somebody won $1 billion and the winning numbers were 3, 7, 10, 27, 30. And I'm just like, no, those are my numbers. I should have won that. So I kind of wanted to save myself from the angst. So now I just pick up one random one now and then when I see the jackpot is getting ridiculously high. Not that I couldn't use a mere $200 million, but hey, to get my money, you better bring it closer to $865 million.
It's a very interesting statement. People say that all the time. Like, I only play when it gets to a certain point. Okay. As if I didn't walk into your office and be like, oh, I had $2 million, but I heard you only play the lottery when I'll go next door. I'll see if they want the money. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't possibly use that. No.
$2 million. What a pittance.
Mm-hmm. Second episode of Top Chef Wisconsin is tonight. So I'm sure I'll be peeking in on that.
We get to hear from Luke tomorrow about it. We get our that's show report.
Yes. We have our own special correspondent, special Top Chef correspondent. And when he said, you know, through office chats and email, you know, that he was a big fan,
yeah,
I thought, okay, well, that's really nice. But boy, when he was on with us last week, you could see he's really a fan.
Yeah, he is.
He really likes that show.
I am jealous of that. I don't know I don't watch those competition shows. I don't watch any of those. I mean, I'll watch Chopped here and there, but I'm never into it enough to be invested. Or like my friends who love Drag Race, like they can talk about it with a professorial milieu, if you will. Like, they can just get into it. I'm sitting back going, I'm just going to look at my phone.
Well, remember Survivor used to have all kinds of folks doing all the recaps and looking through the intrigue. And the one that sadly I have to remember here is when I was evening anchor at Channel 13 here in Eau Claire. So you're sitting in the newsroom and the TV is on and you're watching NBC, like it or not. And so for a couple of years there, as we're prepping for the 10 o'clock news, what are we watching? The Apprentice with Donald Trump. Having no idea what the world would look like today with Donald Trump. And that's where I gotta ask you, have you seen... Like I said at the top of the show, have you seen that he's hawking Bibles now?
You mean the God Bless America Bibles?
The God Bless the USA Bible.
Oh, the God Bless you.
He's doing it in partnership with Lee Greenwood. So
shut up. Apparently, it's not. You are not.
Yes. No. And so apparently Lee Greenwood, the money must have run out from the song, because now he's looking to sell Bibles with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence included for the God Bless the USA Bible, which can be yours for $30 plus shipping.
Oh, I thought it was 60.
Or 60. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was very tempted to play some of the audio. I might still later of at first I really thought I read it. I'm like, is this The Onion? Is this a joke? And then I see the video. I'm like, wait, is that AI? No, that is actually Donald Trump talking about this big, beautiful Bible.
If Donald Trump narrated it, and God created woman, and she was really hot, and she was the most beautiful. She was from New Jersey.
Yeah, but then he gets to some of the stuff in like Leviticus that you're not supposed to do, and he'd just be like, I'm just going to skip this part. Moving on to the next
page.
Don't
understand these big words.
Yep. He announced late yesterday that he's going to be holding a rally in Green Bay. And by rally, I don't mean like over at Lambeau Field. I believe it's over at the Hyatt Regency. It's at a hotel, and it's on April 2nd, which is both the home opener for the Brewers, but it's also election day in Wisconsin. So I don't know if that was chosen on purpose. All I can say to the good people of Green Bay is get the money up front. Because Trump had to cancel a rally recently planned for Arizona because they don't have enough cash, hence the hawking of Bibles and sneakers. So Green Bay, the folks at the hotel, whatever it is, you better get paid up front, because there's still so many outstanding bills from 2020 and 2016 where local governments, you know, provided security and overtime and everything else. But that's what we're going to see is Trump finally coming here after... after the president, the vice president, the first lady, cabinet officers, you know, we're talking to one of the top advisors in our next hour. They clearly have been paying attention to Wisconsin. They're not going to make the 2016 mistake again. And I think at some point somebody tapped the Donald and said, you need to get to Wisconsin. So I will be looking forward to what he says when he gets here.
Me too. Can't wait.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that coming up in the next segment as well. Last thing I was doing before turning in last night was catching what I thought would be the end of the Bucks game. They were playing the LA Lakers at Fiserv Forum, and I'd peeked in on it once. Fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Bucks were up by 19 on the Lakers.
And
so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. When I looked one more time, the Lakers had just tied it, and it was going to overtime. I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. Going to miss that one. And it's kind of a good thing because they also didn't settle it in overtime. They settled it in double overtime. And the Bucks, up by 19 in the fourth quarter, lost in double overtime to the Lakers, 128-124. That was even without LeBron James on the team. And it was even with Giannis getting, his ninth triple-double of the season, 21 points, that's a season high, or 21 rebounds, that's a season high, 29 points, 11 assists. But he also missed two free throws with 24 seconds left. So the Bucks lose to the Lakers, and they are next playing at New Orleans tomorrow night. You can catch that game on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN and Racine, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. But Greg, the most important thing is that opening day for the Brewers is tomorrow. The baseball season is finally here.
Oh, thank God. And we're going to be talking about it next Tuesday, me, you, and Jane on Matt and Aaron. Yes. I cannot wait. When we were talking about who to have from Civic Media, I'm like, I first said Luke, and then I realized, because he's a big fan too. And then I realized, oh my God, Pat. Pat's been talking about it for weeks. We got to get Pat. And we got you, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to the game on Tuesday, and I'm really looking forward. This is my first opening day in years, pre-pandemic.
That's all. Good. No, I'm looking forward to talking about it. Yeah, the home opener will be next week, Tuesday. I'm a little bummed that Garrett Mitchell's going to be out for a while. He had just come back from the one injury, and now he's got a fracture in his hand. I really thought this was going to be it. And one other quick sports note, the NFL has changed its rules on kickoffs to the point where there probably won't be kickoffs anymore. So we're taking just some more of the foot out of football. We'll explain that a little later as we get closer to football season. But we're going to unpack the news a bit more with Trump's Bibles and so much more on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, March 27th on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mariah Carey has a birthday today. Where are we on Mariah Carey, Mr. Bach? Fan, not a fan?
Oh, big fan.
You never know. She could be, you know, what coconut and what did we determine yesterday was just Peeps. A little bit above coconut? Peeps,
yes. Yeah.
So Mariah Carey, not coconut or Peeps.
No.
She's in the plus column.
I am not like a number one fan, but I won't turn her off when she's on the radio, and I enjoy her music, and she is the singer of my, like, one of my most favorite modern Christmas songs, so.
Oh, yeah.
I just enjoy her, and I'm always, it's weird. I've never met her, and I'll probably never meet her, but every once in a while, I'm like, I hope Mariah Carey's doing okay.
You know why that's a valid thought? Because this is somebody who, from a very young age when she was discovered, was kind of, molded, groomed, whatever.
Groomed. I always say
by the head of the record company at the time. And, of course, then they started a relationship with the big age difference. And you always, you do worry that somebody comes into the business somewhat innocently. And when they're this much of a diva now, it's like, okay, are you diva good or are you diva, I don't even want to be in the room with you. So I can see where you're hoping for diva good.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
I love that. We're hoping for diva good.
So we have examples of that. We know, we understand. If you want to reach us, 855-75-CIVIC to say where you are. Why are we mentioning Mariah Carey? It's her birthday today. And we'll have that and much more coming up in today's history lesson in just a couple of moments. some parting words on Trump selling God Bless the USA Bibles now. This, especially during Holy Week, this is such a special week for so many Christians. And it just strikes me as, I mean, literally is a term that gets overused, but it can compare so favorably to money changers in the temple, you know? And I'm wondering, where are the evangelical Christians? Where are the mainline conservatives and Republicans on this? Are they going to speak up, or are they so cowed now? Are they so, you know, cowering in a corner because of him and his base and his followers? Because I would ask you then, just imagine Hillary Clinton selling God Bless the USA Bibles. Imagine Joe Biden selling God Bless the USA Bibles. Imagine Barack Hussein Obama, as Trump always refers to him, hawking Bibles like something on you know, one of the shopping channels. This from a wife-cheating, adjudicated rapist, misogynist, a proven grifter. The Bible, the Trump Bible, which is essentially what it is no different than Trump steaks, Trump water, Trump University, Trump vodka, Trump Airlines, Trump Magazine. These are all real things. These are some of the many business failures of Donald Trump. And while each individual business was a failure, each time he launched one of these failures, he got more publicity. And it was how he built a brand. He built a brand on failure, but also on name recognition. And honestly, anybody interested in shelling out for a Trump Bible, you might as well shell out $400 for those new Trump sneakers. You know, the ones painted gold, the color of an infamous calf that should be remembered this week as a warning about putting too much stock in false idols. Just keep that in mind. Elections next week also include a county board election in La Crosse. I wouldn't normally bring up a single county board seat race in La Crosse County, except to note that in this article from the La Crosse Tribune, one of the candidates is one of the fake electors who sure is backpedaling from the agreements that the fake electors made to acknowledge that what they did was wrong. Bill Feehan was a Republican elector in 2020. He was then serving as La Crosse County Republican chair. He stepped down from that role last year, the Tribune reports, but still serves as the 3rd Congressional District Republican chair. Now, the fake electors reached a settlement in a lawsuit, acknowledging that they knew that what they did was used to try to overturn the will of the voters in 2020. But to see Bill Feehan's remarks makes me wonder if maybe he had his fingers crossed behind his back when he signed it. Because here's how Bill Feehan tells the story to the La Crosse Tribune. Quote, "I think that people deserve to know what the truth is, and the truth is I was not a fake elector. I was a Republican elector. I was called to the state capitol to protect the votes of 1.6 million people who voted for Donald Trump. We were not fake. We did not forge documents. And I have never said that Donald Trump really won the election in Wisconsin." And I kid you not, that all came out of his mouth, word for word, and he probably believes it. To which I would say, dude, I mean, I know Trumpers fall for a lot of what they hear, even if it's different than what they see with their own eyes, but we see the documents, we see the signatures on there, and they are forgeries because they were turned in. They were filed with the people that you would send one of these documents to when you had no basis upon which to sign your name to a fraudulent document. This was not some kind of insurance policy. Something like this had never happened before, because in a democracy, the side that loses accepts the will of the voters moves on and tries to win the next election, rather than planting rumors and working to undermine the actual vote count of the Wisconsin voters. But you couldn't do that. You chose to go down a fraudulent route. When you say, I was called to the Capitol, you could have said no. You chose not to. You put your name on those forged documents. They were filed. And you did have to acknowledge afterwards that you knew that Joe Biden won this election. And so I just hope that when people go to the polls next week, that we don't see somebody saying, well, this La Crosse County Board election for the District 1 seat is rigged somehow. No, it doesn't work that way. If you lose, you lose. And then you try to win the next election with your positions and not with your tactics and not with your lawsuits. Briefly, before we get to our climate check update, the Supreme Court did consider yesterday the case involving mifepristone, the abortion medication, and I was somewhat surprised at how much skepticism was put out there, not just by the liberal justices, but by the conservative justices as well. They all seemed very skeptical that this route could be taken, that the particular group bringing the lawsuit that somehow made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court has never been forced to administer mifepristone, has never been forced to commit any kind of procedures that could be construed as abortions, but yet they still wanted to get rid of this based on their values and beliefs and try to force that upon everybody else. And the justices essentially called them out on it, but I have to say I'm a little skeptical of the conservatives' skepticism, because much like Roe v. Wade, they always strike me as people looking for an answer first, and then they'll construct the legal question around it. So we'll see how they rule in that case. Melissa Baldoff coming up after Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report all along the way here on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, here up north, we'll be back. It's electric. Welcome back. Melissa Baldoff is with us, as she is every Wednesday morning, for our climate check update. Couple of topics today about the green energy jobs of the future, the cleaner energy that it's going to make, the economic development that it's going to bring to some areas. Not all areas, because some areas are actually kind of obstacles to the future green economy. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right.
Okay. So we're going to have some good news about the jobs of the future in just a bit, but we're going to start at the other end of things, and that would be the obstacles to, you know, green energy projects. And there was a really comprehensive report put together by reporters from the Des Moines Register, and then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel picked it up as well. The headline was U.S. counties are blocking the future of renewable energy. And, you know, they showed about how 15% of the counties in the U.S. have effectively, you know, halted these are large scale wind, solar, other projects. There might be bans, moratoriums, construction impediments. This is not to make all of those out to be, you know, bad things, Melissa. It's good for people to have concerns, but I think people maybe might be a little surprised at how many counties have gone down this road already.
I think so. And, you know, I think that we, you know, have heard a lot about, you know, very coordinated opposition, you know, at the federal level from some big corporations, obviously starts at the top of the Republican Party, with Donald Trump being very hostile to clean energy. And, you know, that is a huge threat. And I think in some ways, you know, we've kind of some of us have missed maybe some of that more local, smaller scale opposition, which can really be some of the biggest roadblocks, you know, to having, you know, making this progress. And, you know, in that USA Today analysis, like you talked about, the number of counties blocking solar power, it's almost equal to the counties adding it. So, you know, if you've got this kind of opposition, even at this, you know, small micro level, when so many counties or localities are doing this, it's really going to stand in the way of progress. You know, it's not even a, you know, two steps forward, one step back. It really sounds kind of like a two steps forward, two steps back when you've got so much opposition. And it's really ramped up, you know, in the past couple of years that this opposition has really, really started to ramp up.
Well, I certainly saw it as a legislator, you know, 15 years ago when we were really starting to see wind energy take off. And, you know, as the article notes, the opposition to these kinds of projects is not simple left versus right. And I've acknowledged this here a couple of times as well, that there are plenty of people who, you know, favor renewable energy, but they either get kind of a NIMBY, not in my backyard attitude when it's closer to home, or they just have genuine concerns that have to be addressed. And I kind of want to do that with you next, Melissa, is to say this is not necessarily a partisan issue all the time. Sometimes it's just an information shortage.
I think it's an information shortage very often. And I think it is also an overabundance of misinformation and disinformation, not to suggest that there's a correct amount of those two things, because ideally there should be none. But I think that, you know, when you kind of are in this vacuum and people aren't learning enough about the positives and about the ways that this kind of energy production, while it's new, is going to help them and their communities in the long term without causing any harm, you know, if there's a vacuum in that, you know, delivery of information, it's really easy to be filled by the bad actors who don't want to see that kind of energy move forward. And I think that's, you know, that's really a great risk for us all. You know, like you said, there are some concerns and, you know, folks who are worried about, you know, what are the setbacks like? How loud is this going to be? How is this going to affect other development? It's not wrong for them to have concerns. It's not wrong for them to ask questions and want that information. The problem becomes when they are getting disinformation about, you know, the health impacts of wind energy, for example, which we've seen out there.
Right.
So we really want to make sure people are getting the correct information and understanding the net positives.
Right. And so, you know, now having conceded the point that this is not necessarily, you know, a left versus right issue, it does take us back to the politics of it, that there are plenty of people who may have been ambivalent on the subject, consider themselves conservatives or Republicans, and as the Republican Party mostly, and certainly Donald Trump and others explicitly come out against renewable energy, that to them it's like, well, I guess that's my team. I guess I'm against this now, when it really should be pointed out to them that the opposition at those high levels probably does have a lot to do with the very large sacks of money that the, you know, fossil fuel industry is able to pump into Washington lobbying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it makes, I think, for some, you know, sometimes I think it makes for some strange bedfellows when you see some of the different people or organizations that are aligned on opposing some of this kind of development. And, you know, I think that it really speaks to the need to get out there and tell these positive stories and talk about all the benefits of clean energy and how it is going to improve our lives and really counter that disinformation and misinformation and that fear too. And I think that, and again, that's not wrong for people to have fear or concerns about how things are going to change and be different. But we've got to counter that with accurate information about what's possible and why this is clean, healthy path forward.
Right. And there are, you know, plenty of projects in the pipeline already, pardon the pun, for example, just solar projects in Wisconsin. You know, there are about a dozen under review by the Public Service Commission. Another 40 are getting closer to that point. And, you know, those 40 projects could create upwards of 10,000 jobs. There are wind projects, including two under PSC review and at least four more in the pipeline that could create another 1,100 jobs. So the job creation potential is there when they can work with, you know, people at the local level to green light these projects. And that takes us to our other story this week, and that when those jobs are created in Wisconsin, many of them are going to be very good paying union jobs. This is quite a quite an arrangement that some of the state's large utilities and several large labor unions have come to terms with. What's it about, Melissa?
Yeah, this is a really, I think, incredible story when we, you know, so many times, like you said, we talk about the bad news, but this is something that's really good news, is that Wisconsin's four major utilities have come to the table with a pledge with our state building trade unions to announce really a historic commitment to use local union workers in the construction of the utility scale solar, wind, and battery developments that these utilities are going to be making all around the state. So this is really a big win for workers and for the economy to know that we are going to have Wisconsin folks on these projects. We're going to have high labor standards on wages, on benefits, on training opportunities. And you know, that's good for consumers too, because they're going to get a great product out of Wisconsin's union workforce.
Yeah, I mean the plans that are already out there include 10 gigawatts of solar and 4 gigawatts of battery storage and a little over a gigawatt of wind, all added to the state's power grid by 2030. And in all, they're saying some 19,000 construction jobs could be required to do all this. It's an agreement between Alliant Energy, Madison Gas and Electric, WEC Energy Group, and Xcel Energy. And the arrangement is worked out with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters, Wisconsin Laborers, Wisconsin Operating Engineers. And I think, again, for these large-scale projects, to have them union made, yeah, it's good for the paycheck, but I mean, I get such a better feeling about the quality of these things, so that when we come back to talk about the local projects and, you know, whether a local government wants to be a help or a hindrance, I think knowing that these are things that are going to be, you know, built right and built by Wisconsin construction crews,
right,
not something shoddy and out of state, I don't see how that's anything but a net positive.
Yeah, that's, I agree. You know, I think that's, it's going to be, it's exciting to know that, you know, we're going to get these projects done on time and on budget with a great trained workforce that is committed to training the next generation of workers. And, you know, it's going to be so good for our economy. There was a recent study by the Midwest Economic Policy Institute and UW-Whitewater's Fiscal and Economic Research Center that the investments and associated tax credits under the Inflation Reduction Act, for every $1 billion invested in clean energy in Wisconsin, that would create 2,700 jobs, $1.63 billion in economic activity, and $153 million in state and local tax revenues when we've got these local workers on the job. So that is an incredible boon for our state economy, for our local economy, along with being, you know, great for workers and great for the communities that are going to be building these projects. So this really is, you know, I think a significant win. You know, I think it is something that really, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of other places. I don't know for sure if any other states have done this, but from my understanding, this seems like a pretty big deal, to paraphrase the president.
Well, speaking of the president, yes, the Biden-Harris campaign took note of this. They put out their own statement about this arrangement and included plenty of references to ways that former President Trump has either disparaged unions and union workers, how he's been working more toward, you know, tax cuts for billionaires, and, you know, essentially pointing out the ways that he has been not just anti-union, but anti-worker. And again, people kind of, maybe they wanted to memory hole the chaos of that time, but you know, the The Trump administration was not a good time for unions or workers in general, frankly, especially all that promise of an infrastructure week that never showed up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's really been, you know, one of the many positive changes, you know, between the former administration and this one, is that when President Biden has an infrastructure week, it's because he's investing in infrastructure all over this country, investing in communities, investing in jobs, investing in workers. It's not the joke that it was under the former guy. And when we see, you know, partnerships like this coming together, I think it really, you know, helps drive home the point that proponents of the Inflation Reduction Act have been making all this time, that this is about moving forward together on the, you know, clean energy economy. This isn't about imposing, you know, these, you know, draconian standards on businesses like the, you know, naysayers want people to believe, that it's going to be holding businesses back and holding the economy back. This is something that we are seeing industry want to, many people, not everybody, but many people want to be a part of this because they know it's good for the economy, it's good for jobs. So I think hopefully this will be an example for other states, for other utilities to raise their hands and say, hey, we want to commit to this kind of partnership as well.
And by the way, we'll close with that you've mentioned a couple times here, the Inflation Reduction Act, where so much of the future jobs in clean energy sectors are being born from the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. You've got Donald Trump, who's saying he's going to repeal that, just like they say they're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, again, with no alternatives there. And although I still think, and we've talked about this before, the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, should have been called something more like Build Back Better or whatever, it is that thing that Democrats got done in the last Congress that is leading to this explosion in that sector, the jobs, and now the union jobs that will come to Wisconsin with all that investment. Melissa Baldoff, thank you again. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
And we'll be back with more after this. You're up north. Not bobbing their head to this. It's 6:51 now on Up North News Radio, and as the Supremes sing Stop in the Name of Love, which hit number one this day in 1965, we welcome back to the program after a two-week absence, Melissa Kay, everybody. Welcome.
Hello, back. Hello.
We missed you so much.
Oh, I missed you guys too.
It's so true, but as Greg rightly pointed out, we thought maybe that you were finally on Broadway. You know, you just decided to take your shot after that.
You know, play. It's funny that you started with this song because this is one of the first songs I performed on stage when I was in show choir in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Me too. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you have like funny. Matching outfits, like matching dresses, and you had the
hand gestures? Oh, yeah. Lots of sequins. Yep. With Stop in the Name of Love.
Oh, like she still knows the dance.
Just that
Very
part.
Very nice. All right. Let's see. We played Mariah Carey a little earlier. Let's hear her again on this, her birthday, as Mariah Carey turns 55. So we were talking earlier, Melissa, about Mariah Carey and how, you know, there are divas and then there are divas. And, you know, how we're hoping Mariah Carey is still got remembers her roots, shall we say.
Yes.
Based on her persona that she puts forward on air, I'm thinking no. I'm thinking like if you don't bring her just the bowl of green M&Ms, you know, she'll throw the bowl out the window or something. But I could be wrong. None of us know her.
I feel like she
I just wanted to sing.
I feel like she exists on a diva plane where she's probably really nice, but she doesn't understand like You know, like if you said, "Oh, I really like this thing," or like I like this book, she would buy you every single book that's ever been written by the author and have a sit down with the author rather than just like give you a regular present because she can just afford to buy you. Like she just buy you a horse.
I believe Greg has confused diva for fairy godmother. But, you know, if somebody's going to grant wishes to you, I like that.
She could be my fairy godmother any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Director Quentin Tarantino is 61 today. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas is 49. We'll hear from her in a little bit. The number two song on this day in 1976, because that's as high as it got, was by Gary Wright. Never hear this anymore and not think of Wayne's World.
Of course.
And Dana Carvey as Garth when he sees, who is it that he sees?
Kim Basinger.
Okay. And yeah, he just gets, you know, there's Vaseline on the lens. It's all gauzy. And he's just like, oh. On this day in 1986, I wasn't sure this was going to work, but Sammy Hagar made his first appearance as the new lead singer of Van Halen and gave us tunes like this. So they started touring in Louisiana this day in 1986 and then cranked out a few hits like this and Right Now and others. And I don't know. I guess I don't have enough old people sitting around a round table here for us to talk about whether we thought it was going to work or not. But it did.
I mean, it forever put a chasm in the history of Van Halen.
Yes. Yep.
Deep chasm. Team
David Lee Roth or...
Yeah. Are you Van Hagar or Van Halen?
Ooh. Yeah, but it also gave me this opportunity to share with you guys that particular song, Why Can't This Be Love, has one of the worst song lyrics ever. When he sings, only time will tell if we stand the test of time.
Ooh,
and we're like, are you kidding me with that? So it got some of us thinking a couple of years back, what are some of the other worst lyrics? And I brought up Neil Diamond, who gave us the line, no one heard it all, not even the chair. Yeah, Neil Diamond also gave us, or no, this was Elton John who gave us, if I was a sculptor, but then again, no. Okay.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
Yeah, but I'm gonna keep it in the song. So along with bad lyrics, which you can, you know, text us at 855-75-CIVIC or put some comments on Facebook if you like. This also is Quirky Country Song Title
Heck
Day.
Yeah.
Oh,
so along
there's
with
so many of those
quirky lyrics, we get quirky song titles, and we played one of them yesterday. She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy by Kenny Chesney, which made Greg laugh. Billy Ray Cyrus, I Want My Mullet Back. Toby Keith and Willie Nelson, Beer for My Horses. Travis Tritt, Here's a Quarter, Call Someone Who Cares. Joe Nichols, Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off. Big and Rich, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Trace Adkins, Honky Donk Badonk. Those are all fine. They're quirky, but I went back deep into the memory banks, and here's George Jones with the winner.
The bridge washed out, and I can't swim, and my baby's on the other side.
I just remember being like 12 years old, and this comes on the radio, and it's during my, you know, my parents went through their urban cowboy phase, and I'm just like, wait, this song is seriously called The Bridge Is Washed Out, I Can't Swim, and My Baby's on the Other Side. And that's all it was. That's what the song was about. I'm like, we're not going real deep on this stuff now. We're just...
I mean, if you want some great ones too, Little Jimmy Dickens, like Made the Birds of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose.
Oh, sure. Yep.
An honorable mention, Roger Miller. You can't roller skate with a buffalo herd.
Oh, yes.
I love Roger Miller.
Yeah, yes. He's great. We have his record, one of them.
All right, so you were off for 2 weeks there. What you been up to, and did you have a nice break?
It was a nice break. We were out in Arizona, and I got to drive a Jeep through the desert.
Nice.
Also got to experience driving on the Kansas Turnpike with, you know, I don't even know how many foot RV, 28 maybe RV, hauling a trailer with the Jeep on the trailer. So that was an experience.
I'll
but
bet.
We survived. Obviously, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the desert
unless you've been
beautiful.
Replaced.
That's possible.
And then the rest of the run of the play went well?
Oh, it did. It did. Okay. We had great audiences, great crowds. It was kind of a whirlwind because a lot leading up to that and then jumping on a plane and ending up in a desert in bloom because they have had so much rain out there. The desert was completely green. It was really weird.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
And weird and bad? I don't know. I have no idea anymore.
It's nice to have you. It's just nice to have you back. We're glad you had fun. Yeah. Roger chimes in on Facebook that he thought it was Donna Dixon who was Garth's dream woman in the movie. And he...
Yeah, oh, you know what? Right. He's right. It was Donna Dixon in the first one, Kim Basinger in the second one.
Isn't Roger always right, though?
Well, yeah,
he's got the luxury. He's not yapping for 2 hours. Like, he's got time to look this stuff up, you know? So we like that. He's kind of like our editor. There you go. Melissa Kay, so glad you're back here. Have a great day.
Good to see you guys. Have a great day.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mitch Landrieu from the Biden-Harris campaign about infrastructure investments in Wisconsin. You're up north. The other.